to Psalm 100, a classic chapter on Thanksgiving. It almost seems like it wouldn't be right if we didn't read this chapter on Thanksgiving. And so we want to do that. I did cheat a little bit. I had my, whatever they call this thing, with me. And I've got one little thing on here that I'm going to read to you after a while. But anyway. Not exactly a computer, though, I found out. So. All right, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. I'd like you to read in unison with me verse 4. Would you do that? Let's read it. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Next verse 2. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We have some wonderful reasons there for the thanksgiving that we're admonished to give in verse 4, don't we? So let's ask the Lord's blessing on the service. Father, we thank you for this time to declare your word. We pray that you would help me, Lord, to preach it clearly. Lord, this is a wonderful time when we think about your many, many blessings, Lord. When we begin to, we sang the song a minute ago, count your blessings, but it seems like the list is very long, and we are so thankful. Lord, you have loaded us up with benefits, as the psalmist said, and more than we can contain. And so we are so grateful and thankful, Lord, for all you've done. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to just lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving to you today as we think about this subject and realize that it's not just for one time of the year. We ought to have thankful hearts all the time, Lord. Just help us to do that, we pray. Bless the message now. Fill me with your spirit as I speak, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it wouldn't be Thanksgiving if we didn't also read the statement from William Bradford. When this was actually 3 years after the Pilgrims had landed there on American soil. And this is what he said. To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and little ones to gather at the meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord 1623 and third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock. There to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye almighty God for all his blessings. Amen. Well, you know, America had an amazing start. We've seen a lot of deterioration since that time, haven't we? But nonetheless, that's the foundation that America began with. So today, I would like to talk to you a little bit about some characteristics of Thanksgiving. Some characteristics of Thanksgiving. We'll look at some things from Psalm 100 and other places in Scripture as well. So, first of all, we see that being thankful is actually a command of God. And it's not just given in one place, it's given in a number of places. So keep your Bibles handy. We're going to look up some verses. I start here with verse 4 again that we read together. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And so this is an imperative. We're being told here, this is a command that we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And then if you'll look over to Colossians chapter 3. And by the way, let's just hang on there for just a second. Because verse 5 needs to be tied in with this. Because the reason is given there in verse 5. And it's a very good reason. Three very good reasons. Because God is good. God is good. Are you convinced of that today? That God is good? Is God good even when hard things come in your life? God is always good, no matter what. And hard things do come into our lives. I understand that. But God is still good, no matter what. We need to always keep that in mind. God is always good. Also, we read there in that verse 5, another reason for thanksgiving is that his mercy is everlasting. I appreciate Brother Mark and his testimony a while ago. I feel the same way, and I think we all should feel that way. Thank God for his mercy for a sinner like me. You know, you say, well, I've never gone into any deep sin. I've never done anything bad. Yeah, but it was in your heart. You know. As a teenage boy, I was an unsaved boy, unsaved guy, and because I had Christian parents and I had a lot of rules and restrictions and that kept me in line somewhat. But I tell you, there is a wicked, wicked heart in here all that time, and there still is. And I want to tell you something. I am so thankful for God's mercy, for his mercy is everlasting. Aren't you glad it's everlasting? That it doesn't just last for a little while, you know. Yeah, God saved you. God extended his mercy to you and saved you. And then he goes off and leave you alone. And no, his mercy is everlasting. Mark, his mercy is for the rest of your life, too. And then throughout eternity. Amen? That's how it is. See, praise the Lord for that. And then we also see, his truth endureth to all generations. Aren't you thankful for God's truth? I mean, just think about that. Where would we be if we didn't know what the truth was? You know? Like Pilate said, what is truth? Well, we know what truth is. Amen? Yeah, hold your Bible up there like Mark did a minute ago. Yeah, that's truth. We've got it. Got it right in our hands. Praise God for that. His truth endureth to all generations. Well, we could talk about the perseverance of scriptures, couldn't we, for that? His truth, the word of God is truth, and it endures to all generations. It wasn't just for the first generation Christians or for years after that. This is for 2019 and on and on, you see. Praise God. His truth endureth to all generations. So there's some really good reasons there for thanksgiving given in verse 5. But let's go on and look at some other passages too. Colossians chapter 3. You may want to keep your finger there. And I'm sorry, we're going to have to fix this crackling speaker this week somehow or other. Colossians chapter 3 and verses, starting with verse 15 there. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. It's another imperative, it's another command there that we are to give thanks. In whatever we do, we're to give thanks. Praise God. All right, and then Ephesians chapter 5. Back a few pages. Verses 3 and 4. Now, you might wonder what in the world does verse 3 have to do with this, but I think it's important. But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. This is a command about some negative sins, some things that we're not to do, neither filthiness, verse 4, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but, now here's the positive thing, but giving of thanks. You see that? But giving of thanks. Then let's go over to 1 Timothy, chapter 2. 1 Timothy, chapter 2. And verse 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. We need to give thanks for our leaders in our country. Now, it's kind of hard to do with some of them, I know. I understand that. But if we didn't have laws and people to enforce those laws and make those laws and so forth, we'd be living in anarchy. I mean, every man would be doing that which is right in his own eyes. Think about that. That wouldn't turn out very good, would it? And so we need to be thankful for our government and for the controls that our government... you say, oh, yeah, but we're having our freedoms taken away. Yeah, that's true. But part of the reason for that, I could preach a whole sermon on this subject, but part of the reason for that is God will not have anarchy. God has foreordained government to control people. Because people, left to themselves, are out of control because of their sinful, wicked nature. Man by himself cannot control himself. God instituted government for that reason. Now, I realize some governments aren't good, but still, that was the reason God instituted government. We thank God for our government because I think it's the best one on the face of the earth. Amen? Amen. Come on, some of you patriotic people. So, we need to be thankful for our government and for our leaders in this nation, for our president. And there's some people, like I say, are kind of hard to be thankful for. But anyway... okay, let's look at another scripture. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So, there again is another command for us. All these scriptures, you'll find they are all written in the imperative mode, and that means that they are all commands. It is a command for us to give thanks to the Lord. All right. Now, there's a couple more, too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Now we know that verse, but we'll look at it here real quick. First Thessalonians. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. So what are we supposed to give thanks in? In everything, that's right. In everything. Well, that means the good things, but it also means the hard things, doesn't it? The trials. We need to give thanks to God for the trials. I don't know about you. I have a tough time doing that. Anybody else have trouble doing that besides me? But we're to do that. That's a command, that we're to give thanks in everything. All right. So when are we to give thanks? Well, Ephesians 5:20 tells us that. Let's look at that. Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when are we to give thanks? Always, that's right. Always. For everything and always. These are commands, folks. This is what we are to do. This is what God has commanded us to do. All right. Now, another thing, it's a command, but being thankful is also a result of being filled with the Spirit. So look at Ephesians chapter 5 there again, and we'll look at verses 18 through 20. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in hymns and psalms. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is a kind of a byproduct, being thankful. It's kind of a byproduct or a result of being filled with the Spirit. If somebody is filled with the Spirit, they are going to be thankful. It just goes, that's just part of it. It's just all lumped together there, isn't it? We see a number of things. They're going to be speaking to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Have a melody in their hearts and so forth to the Lord. And they're going to be giving thanks. So these are just results. The outcome, that's not all the outcomes of being filled with the Spirit, but those are distinctive things that come with being filled with the Spirit. On the other hand, unthankfulness is a definite sign of a fleshly walk. Somebody not walking in the Spirit. Think about that. Somebody who just is grumbling and griping and complaining all the time and never thankful. They're not filled with the Spirit. They're not. They're walking in the flesh. All right, another thing about thankfulness. It prevents backsliding and promotes growth. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. And this is a passage there about the downward spiral of a society or of an individual. But we see how it starts out here, in starting with verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And it goes on and on and on about the downward spiral of a person or of a society as they start out by not giving glory to God, not being thankful to God. So it's a, being thankful will help a person not to get backslidden, really. You'll have a hard time getting backslidden if you're really thankful. It's just how it is. And it also promotes growth. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So we grow by the word of God. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So if we've tasted that God is gracious, if we know that God is good, and we're thankful to him for his goodness and his graciousness, which we ought to be, then that will kind of help us to grow, you see. So you kind of tie that together there. All right. Another thing about thankfulness, it cannot coexist with pride. It cannot coexist with pride. Again, we're going back to Romans chapter 1 again. Probably should have just stayed there maybe, but Romans chapter 1. We read verses 21 through 22 already, but then look over to verse 30. This is continuing on down the spiral of debauchery in a person's life. Verse 30, backsliders, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. See, when you're proud, you're not likely to give thanks to anybody for anything, least of all to God. You know, I'm a self-made man. Well, you're not. You're stupid, like you are. If you are what you are because God made you that way. Okay, you need to give God the glory. I appreciate Derek's message last week about Abner and Joab, two very proud men. And I think part of the reason they were proud because they weren't thankful. You say, well, what did they have to be thankful about? Well, I'll just tell you a couple things. Abner had something to be thankful about because... remember the battle that Saul and Jonathan and all the other Israelites were in? Where do you think Abner was at? He was in that battle too. Sure he was. But he survived it. I mean, there were dead people laying all around him. He survived it. Okay? He had something to be thankful for, didn't he? How about Joab? What did he have to be thankful for? He was chosen to be the leader of the army for David. He had plenty to be thankful about. But they were proud and boastful men. Instead of being thankful, their pride destroyed many. Another thing about Thanksgiving, thankfulness, it will heal bad attitudes and broken relationships. Thankfulness can be a healing salve to open wounds. You know that? You know, a widow lady, maybe who recently lost her husband, I can imagine she would walk into her bedroom, and there wouldn't be dirty socks laying on the floor anymore for her to pick up, or maybe some of his other bad habits. She would give anything to have to pick up his dirty socks again. See? or a man who maybe just lost his wife. He goes in the bathroom to comb his hair, and all the times before, he always had to pull the long hairs out of the comb before he could comb his hair. Oh, he longed to be able to do that again. If you're upset with your spouse, just think about the good things. You know, there's got to be some good things. You married the person, right? What in the world are you marrying for? There wasn't anything good about them, okay? That you liked. You need to go back and think about those good things. If there's things that you've discovered that you don't like about your spouse, and there will be, by the way, that's just part of marriage, you need to go back and think about the good things. And be thankful for those good things. You know that it's impossible for you to be angry, continue to be angry and bitter at somebody if you're thankful for that person. Those two thoughts are incompatible. You cannot continue to be angry and bitter at a person and still be thankful for them at the same time. It won't work. The cure to bitterness is to start being thankful for that person. You say, man, I can't think of a thing about that person I like. So that's the problem. You're thinking about all the negative stuff instead of something positive. Surely there's something good about that person that you can be thankful for. I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody else here today, okay? I'm going to tell you something. This is a clue. This is a secret to getting over bitterness. Is to be thankful for that person, that very person that you've been bitter against. Can you do that? You say, no way. Huh? I'd say there's the problem. Right there. Resentment flees when gratefulness enters. Some people get mad at God. They don't like the circumstances, the trials maybe that God has allowed in their lives. They get mad at God. You know what you need to do? If you're tempted to do that, you need to stop and start just thinking about God's goodness to you, His mercy to you, His great salvation He's provided for you, and that He, like Brother Derek was saying, He desired to have a relationship with you. That'll change your attitude toward God. You cannot have a bad attitude and have a broken relationship with somebody and be resentful and angry at somebody and be thankful for them at the same time. I'm telling you that. All right, another point. We tend to, by the way, there are seven of these points, in case you want to count them. We tend to be thankful in good times only, don't we? That's kind of human nature. In the early 17th century in Germany, the 30 Years' War was going on. There was bloodshed, there was famine and pestilence, death all around. In Ellensburg, Germany, a pastor by the name of Martin Rinkhart. It said that he buried up to 50, he had funerals for up to 50 people in one day. You can imagine. And yet, during that period of time, he wrote 66 hymns. And one of his hymns is called, we sing it. We sing it at Thanksgiving season. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voice, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices. Whom from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. You know, well, everything was going great for the Apostle Paul and Silas in Philippi, wasn't it? No, of course not. Oh, they were having great revivals. Everything was going good. No, they weren't. No, they got thrown in jail, thrown in prison. They were put in, their backs were bloody from being beaten. They were put in stocks, and they were in prison. I mean, things looked really bleak. Things looked really bad. And so what did they do in prison? They wept and complained, did they? No. They rejoiced. They praised God and thanked God. At midnight, they sang and praised God. Disciples, early disciples, I think it was the second persecution they went through. They were beaten. And they were threatened, told not to preach anymore. And what did they do? Well, of course, they kept preaching, but they thanked God for the opportunity to suffer for God. And they did. So in everything, Scripture tells us, we're to give thanks, even in difficult circumstances. Another thing is we tend to grow accustomed to God's blessings. It seems like the longer we're Christians, the more of a possibility that is for us. We become accustomed to being a Christian, accustomed to God's blessings, and we become somewhat apathetic about it. Emerson said, if the stars came out only once a year, everybody would stay up all night to behold them. That's kind of human nature. If something is, you know, new and fresh, we're excited about it, you know. But if it's old hat, you know, I've been saved for, I don't know, 55 years or something like that. It could be old hat for me, but I continually remember God's mercy to me, a teenage boy destined to hell. I continually remember that, and I will not forget that. I'm thankful for God's mercy, thankful for His grace. Children of Israel had a problem with this when they were in the wilderness for 40 years. God fed them. God gave them manna every morning. It was good stuff. It was nutritious. Tasted good. And it was everything they needed. But look what it says in Numbers 11:6. But now our souls dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. They had grown accustomed to it. And it wasn't new and fresh, and it wasn't a blessing anymore. And it became a curse to them. And it's so easy for us to grow accustomed to God's blessings that we no longer are thankful for them. You know, what would it have been like if you woke up this morning in North Korea? You were a Christian that woke up in North Korea this morning. You wouldn't even know if you're going to live through the day. You wouldn't know if there'd be a pound on your door and the police would be coming to get you and take you away to prison. You wouldn't know. We have so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for. Thankful for that our sins are forgiven. Thankful that we have heaven to look forward to. Thankful that we have a church to encourage us and to support us. We have so much family around us to support us. So much to be thankful for. Let's not grow accustomed to it. Let's keep it fresh all the time. And then also, another thing about thankfulness is that sometimes we grieve over the results of God's blessing. What do I mean by that? Well, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4, it says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. In other words, the whole point here is, and we're not talking about ox here, but the whole point is, now some of you got, you know, if you got farm animals, you know that it's, they make a mess, right? And you got to clean up after them. If you didn't have any farm animals, you wouldn't have a mess. That makes sense, doesn't it? Okay? That's what this verse is saying. So the idea is the farm animals are a blessing, and if you're going to have the blessing, you're going to have to take the negative part with it, you see. And sometimes there's extra work involved in that. Someone put it this way with a poem. It's called A Small Handprint on the Wall. One day, as I was picking the toys up off the floor, I noticed a small handprint on the wall beside the door. I knew that it was something that I'd seen it most every day, but this time when I saw it there, I wanted it to stay. Then tears welled up inside my eyes, and I knew it wouldn't last, for every mother knows her children grow up way too fast. Just then I put my chores aside and held my children tight. I sang them sweet lullabies and rocked them into the night. Sometimes we're granted all those things that seem so small, like one of God's great treasures, a small handprint on the wall. I know some of you mothers, you get up all starry-eyed, about half asleep, hardly, got to pry one eye open to go take care of the baby in the middle of the night. He's crying his head off, and boy, you'd like him to go to sleep and be quiet and let you get a good night's sleep. There are a lot of mothers, a lot of women, that would love to have that blessing. Think about it that way. Oh, they make dirty diapers. They make messes. They make the crib dirty, don't they? But what a blessing they are. See? And then finally, thankfulness. Not finally, I got one more point after this. Thankfulness is more of a heart condition than an outward expression. Ephesians 6:6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We learned what the will of God is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, didn't we? To give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God, says. So, if we're going to do the will of God, we need to do the will of God from the heart. We need to have thankful hearts, you see. It's one thing to, you know, when you're talking to other folks in church and thanking God for this, praising God for that, it's good. I'm glad to hear you're doing that. But what's even more important is that it's in your heart. It's in your heart in those quiet hours of the night, early morning hours. It used to just always be in our hearts, being thankful to God. It just needs to be a way of life for us. And finally,
I'm going to be done at this point.
If we need to go back to our chapter there in Psalms 100 again. This whole psalm is really about thankfulness. That's the subject, Psalm of Praise, it says at the top there. So there's continuity to the whole chapter, and we can't just take one or two verses, pick it out, and say that, just take that by itself. You can't take the whole chapter. Notice how the first two verses go. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So there seems to be a connection here between joyfulness, rejoicing, and thankfulness. They accompany each other. And I think we need to keep that in mind. You know, if somebody's sad, down, mouth, and just unhappy all the time, maybe the problem is they're just not being thankful. So there is a... thankfulness will do an awful lot for us, folks. You know, if you want to be selfish about it, just think about what it'll do for you, but it will. Thankfulness will keep you right with God. Thankfulness will heal broken relationships. Thankfulness will keep joy in your hearts. There's just a lot to it. And as we go through this, into this Thanksgiving season, I hope we'll think about those things. And then think about them throughout the year as well. It's the result of being filled with the Spirit. It'll prevent backsliding and promotes growth. You cannot coexist with pride. It will heal bad attitudes and broken relationships. We tend to be thankful in good times only. We grow accustomed to God's blessings and forget to be thankful. Are we thankful for the dirty stall? Thankfulness needs to be more of a heart condition than an outward expression. And joyfulness will always accompany thankfulness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we've had together. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. You are so good. We love you. And we want to just be truly thankful for all you've done for us. Or forgive us the times that we fail in this and grumble and complain. Lord, please fill us with the joy of praise and thanksgiving, I pray. Lord, bless our church, bless each one here. Help us to have a wonderful Thanksgiving season. Most of all, even though it's a time of fellowship and family and big turkey dinner and all that, help us to focus in on the most important thing. It's being grateful to you. Lord, you have done so much for us. Thank you for the going to the old rugged cross. The God of the very universe giving that up to come and suffer and die as a human being on this earth for us to pay our sin debt. Thank you, Lord, for your shed blood. Pray that you bless the invitation time now. Help us to be truly thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.